Let's get started. Three questions that came up over the course of this week. One question on Motsoi Shabbos, I think it was. I got a text. Shalom, shalom. I'm in Israel now. I guess that's why he started with shalom, shalom. I was here for a week, including Purim, and leaving tonight. Do I have to do Bedikas Chametz before I leave? Because it's within 30 days. It's my parents' apartment. Nobody's going to be here for Pesach. Okay, so that's Shaila number one. Good. Shaila number two. I found these matzos online. Okay, so this will be, you need a little illustration over here. If you go on matzogram.com, you will find these matzos that I'm showing you right now with pictures on it and all sorts of, some of them have words like Happy Passover or, of course, Shalom, right? Because, okay, illustrated matzos to give a more festive atmosphere to your Seder. So the Shaila is, can I use these matzos? Apparently they do have a hashkacha. They're under the KRCC. I don't know what it's actually called, but it's like a K and the RCC is, goes along the length of the case from California. I think it's from a union, right? Is
that,
yeah, the union's LA. I think so. So that the Shaila was, is there anything wrong with using such matzos for Pesach? What? You hope not? You like to use them. Okay. And then a third Shaila that came up, not Pesach related. I need to get the email for this one. The Shaila read as follows. Freilich and Shushan Purim. I guess I got this email on Shushan Purim. I have a, I think, halachic dilemma, which I wanted to run by you if you have the time and interest in responding. I want to renew a contract with a frum company related to our business. The issue is, one of the employees, a frum guy, has been the company representative the past few years and is both, Rachman al-Islan, lacking in competence and very unpleasant to deal with on many levels. As far as we're concerned, if he were to continue servicing the account, it is not feasible that we can continue using this company. Question is, do I tell the owner that I will commission their services on condition that this employee is not our account representative at the risk of jeopardizing his job? Or do I move on to another company and forego the opportunity of Memker La'amisecha? Okay, so we have the Bedikas Chametz within 30 days of Pesach, we have the colorful matzos, and we have the fellow who wants to know whether he should get the frum guy fired. 1, 3, 2, 3. Okay, so there is a halacha you should be aware of, that the Gemara says in Pesachas Pesachim, Davav Amir Aleph, that Shaul and Vidarshim Bilchus Achag, Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag. Right, so all the Rishonim are bothered by the Kasha, that in Megillah Daf Lamed Beis, it says that Moshe Tikkun Lam LiYisrael, that we're supposed to be Darshan Hilchos Chag B'Chag, Hilchos Atzeres B'Atzeres, Hilchos Pesach B'Pesach, so all the Rishonim are bothered. Which is it? Is it Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag? Or is it Hilchos Chag B'Chag, Hilchos Pesach B'Pesach? Only on Pesach. So there are many answers given, the Bach, the Ran, they all deal with the old Nosakem, the Shulchan Aruch, Yaakov, others, they all deal with the question. I forget who says it, but one of the major commentators, think it's a Rishon, says that that the difference between Shloshim Yom and on the Yantif itself is on the Yantif you have an obligation to actually learn the halachas of the Yantif. Shloshim Yom Kodem, we just have the halacha of Shoal Ki'inyin. That if someone asks about a topic relating Shloshim Yom Kodem to Hilchos Pesach, he's considered a Shoel Ke'inyin. What does it mean that he's a Shoel Ke'inyin? It means that if there are two different questions that come up, one of which relates to Stam, business, that could be at any time during the year, and another one that relates to Hilchos Pesach, the Shoel Ke'inyin comes first, right? So and apparently, therefore, our choices are now going to be narrowed down to one and two, because that is the Shoel Ke'inyin. For those guys who are in my shir, you remember we did on, I guess it was right after Purim, on Sunday maybe it was, we mentioned that Rabbi Gladstein Shlita in his Sefer quotes from Shlomo Kluger that this idea of Shoel Ke'inyin being Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag is so strong that Shlomo Kluger's Mesupuk, if you have two people that ask a Shaila on Purim day, one of them is asking Hilchos Purim and the other one is asking Hilchos Pesach, who is the greater Shoel Ke'inyin? Shloshim Yom Kodem may be such a strong Inyan of Shoel Ke'inyin that's the greater Shoel Ke'inyin than the guy who's asking about Hilchos Purim on Purim. So, okay, so we're into this idea of Shoel Ke'inyin right now. So now, when your choices are one or two, it's So now we're getting more tshuva. Okay, so we'll start with number two. Now, the reason that I got excited about that shaila was I got that shaila mamish the day after the Daf Yomi came across the following Gemara. It's a Gemara in Maseches Chulin, but really the primary sugya is in Maseches Pesachim, so we'll read it from Maseches Pesachim. The Gemara reads as follows. Tanu Rabbanan tells us about a number of different types of matzahs, and one of them is ubisrikina mitzuyarin yotzin. You could be yotze, and on the list of things you could be yotze with bisrikina mitzuyarin bepesach. You could be yotze with illustrated matzos on Pesach. So you think, oh, how do they think of this? A new thing, illustrated matzos. Who's making pictures of matzos? In the Gemara and the Brisa, they talk about making pictures of matzos, illustrated matzos on Pesach. Afal pisha amru ein osin srikin amitziyarim bepesach. But you're not allowed to make srikin amitziyarim bepesach. You're not allowed to make illustrated matzahs on Pesach. Amru v'yudu davar zeh shal baitus ben zunin lechachamim. A fellow by the name of Baitus ben Zunin asked the following shayla to the chachamim. V'prei ma amru ein osin srikin amitziyarim bepesach. What's wrong with illustrated matzahs? Why are we so bland and boring? Why can't we add a little bit of color and energy to our siddurim? Right? We should do things with excitement. So amr lo, mipnei she'isha shohel al machmatzta. If you've ever seen a woman who's meticulous and who wants to make sure everything comes out perfect, so she's going to sit there with the dough and she's going to carve into the dough an exact perfect picture that she's trying to make in the dough. And in the meantime, while she's doing that, what's happening to the dough? It's rising. It's becoming chametz. So we don't want to risk that. Someone's going to be there making images in the dough in advance of baking it. Then it's going to cause it to become chametz. So Amar Lahem, this fellow Baitos Ben Zunin said, Efshar Yasena B'Tefus V'Yikven HaKevan. So no, I have a great idea. I have specialized equipment that can do this very, very quickly. All you got to do is make a mold, a form. You press it down on the dough. It takes on, they have like cake pans like this, right? We used to have, when my kids were young, like an Elmo-shaped cake pan. And then all you had to do was color it with the food coloring, and you could have Elmo. You could also have off-colored Elmo if you get the wrong food coloring. But, you know, so they could have done this with matzah also. It would take 2 seconds. Just press it down, and then you'll have the image that you need. Amru lo, the Chum said back, Yomru, kol asrikin asurin, usrike baitus mutarin. Then everyone's going to say, no, everyone else's illustrated matzahs are asur, and baitus' illustrated matzahs are mutar. That doesn't look good. It should be a low plug. Gemara goes on, Amru blazbar tzaduk, pamachas nichnasti achar abba lebeisram gamliel. Blazbar tzaduk says, I went with my father. Who's Rabbi Blazbar tzaduk's father? A good guess, right? Rabbi Tzaddik. So he said, I went together with Rabbi Tzaddik to the house of Rabbi Gamliel. The yevil the fun of Srikin Amutziyar and Bepesach. And they served, they said, oh, we got the coolest thing. This new product, it's California Ashkacha, it's really cool. And they bring out these Srikin Amutziyar and these matzahs with pictures of them on Pesach. Amarti, so I said, Abba, lo kacham ruchacham, meinos and Srikin Amutziyar and Bepesach? Didn't we learn in in the Daf Yomi recently that you're not allowed to speak of Mitzyaron on Pesach? Samali, Bini, Lo Shal Kol Adam Amru, El Shal Nachtomin Amru. No, an individual speaking of Mitzyaron are fine. It's only a baker's speaking of Mitzyaron that's going to be a problem. Because a baker, he's selling his product. He wants to make sure everything's perfect. So he's going to take the time to perfect the product. But an individual is making it at home, it's no big deal. And then the Gemara says, but Ikada Amri, Hachi Karmelei, Lo Shal Nachtomin Amru, El Shal Kol Adam. That's the exact opposite. That a baker, he probably has so much experience, he knows how to do it really well. So you don't have to worry about that. But Shal Kol Adam, that's where you have to worry about it because he probably doesn't know as much what he's doing. Okay, so Sanu, what do you get from this Gemara? What would you paskin now? First of all, have we touched upon all the issues? I should have started with this. Well, I just introduced the one issue that I thought you might not be familiar with. There are potentially 3 issues with this matzah. What? Ah, so if there's writing on it, you're erasing the writing. It's the old birthday cake shayla, right? So you have that issue. Good, what else?
What's the ingredient? It's supposed to be 2 ingredients.
Ah, there should be only 2 ingredients in your matzah. It should be flour and it should be water. Nothing about shalom or Passover or happy Passover or a Seder plate, engraved on the matzah. That's one of them. It looks very nice. So you shouldn't have... So there's only supposed to be 2 ingredients. So how can you add more ingredients? Right? So now we have 3 issues to discuss. Yeah? That's the same issue, right? The reason that it's only supposed to be two ingredients is because lechem oni, ani ksiv, so it's supposed to be lechem ani, that it's supposed to be like a poor man's bread, and therefore it's not supposed to be matzah ashira, it's not supposed to be anything too fancy, right? So you don't put it in fact, by the way, it's that sugya in Psachim that introduces us to the general issue we have in Yeridea and Simen Sadi Zayin of milchik bread. Because among the things you're not supposed to make matzah with is milk. And the Gemara says, by the way, you're not supposed to make any bread with milk because they made a gezeira that you're not allowed to have milchik bread. Right? Why aren't you allowed to have milchik bread? We're afraid you're going to make yourself a pastrami sandwich because Jews always like pastrami. So that's always going to be a problem if you have milchik bread. Right? So that's the issue of milchik bread. Or fleishik bread for that matter. By the way, important to know. So we're not going to get into that issue right now. But this is a fascinating topic. Now we have three issues to discuss, and this has a reliable hashgacha, apparently, right? So what are the heterim? So now let's go through one by one. First issue, what's the heter? As far as the issue of srikin amatsiyarin, just based on what we read, what do you think?
We have machine that can do it really fast.
Ah, okay. So is it true that if it could be done very expeditiously, is expeditiously the right word? If it could be done very quickly, with great zrizos, and there's no chance of any chimutz, that it's going to be mutter. So on the one hand, at the beginning of the Gemara, that doesn't sound true, right? Because they said, this fellow Baitus said, I could do it really fast. I can make a press and it will go down and it'll be good. And they said, sorry, lo plug. But then the Gemara starts distinguishing between a nachtom and a balabayis, which makes it sound like whoever is going to do it quickly is going to be mutter. So that's something that is worthy of discussion. The Rosh in Siman Tezvav understands the riff to Paskin like the last lashon of the Gemara, that shall nachtom in mutter, that if it's made by a professional bakery, then it's going to be mutter. And the reason the riff passes like that is, suppose, again, there were three stages. The first stage of the Gemara is everything's going to be asr. Second stage of the Gemara is shall nachtomin is asr, shall balabais is mutter. Third stage of the Gemara is the reverse. Shall nachtomin is mutter, shall balabais is asr. So the riff paskins like the last one, at least the way the Rosh understands him. Why? Because that was a maisa rav. First of all, when you have a lishna kabin and ikadamri, we normally pass like the ikadamri. And the first one is out because the first one wasn't a maisa rav. It wasn't a story that happened with actual people asking an actual shayla. It was just a statement in the base medrash, which doesn't take as much confidence as when you're actually dealing with a real maisa rav. So that's what the Rosh says was the psak of the riff. The Ran says that initially they weren't gozer al shal nachtomin, but ultimately they made it a low plug. Meaning, we can reconcile the very first stage of the Gemara with what happens in the next stages of the Gemara. The next stages of the Gemara make some sort of distinction between a nachtom and a balabayis and say that sometimes it will be mutter. That was at the early stages of the Gezeira. At some later point, they broadened the Gezeira to include everybody. And therefore, says the Ran, the Gezeira, in fact, includes everybody. That it doesn't matter how quickly you could make it. It doesn't matter how well you can do it without violating any halacha. Nevertheless, it's without risking chimutz. Nevertheless, still going to be aser. So that heter lechora is not going to work, right? You hear? What other heter do we have for this problem? So first of all, it's printed after it's baked. So here's my suffix. And Lechora, that's the strongest heter, right? And I went on the website, matzogram.com or whatever, and it describes that they do print it after. They don't put the food coloring on beforehand and then bake it in. They have some sort of specialized technology that can apply it after it's baked and not break the matzahs, which they're very proud of. Apparently that took some time to develop. So it's printed on after it's baked. Now, here's my shaila about that. Is it obvious to anyone who sees it that it was printed after it's baked? So, I don't know. Meaning, and if it's not obvious to anyone who sees it that it's printed after it's baked, isn't it the same problem of lo plug? Meaning, what was the problem with the Gemara with Baitus, Srike Baitus, with using Baitus's, prefab form to make the matzah? What was the problem with it? Yeah, it's nice that you have a mold to make it in, but people who see the matzahs don't know that you had a mold to make it in. And everyone's going to think, oh, you're just allowed to have illustrated matzahs. And they're going to make illustrated matzahs the way they like to make it. And they're going to risk chimutz. Well, if that's the case, then maybe even if it's printed afterwards, but it's not obvious from looking at it that it's printed afterwards, then maybe it would be a problem. Because Srike Baitos Mutarin and Srike Matzogram Mutarin and Kala Srike Nasurin, that maybe people are going to think. So I'm not sure. The truth is, when I raised this issue to Rav Shechter last Friday, he thought it was funny that they make the matzahs, but he thought it was pashut that that's a heter, that that's nothing to discuss. But I don't know. I don't know why it's so pashut. If when you look at it, it's not obvious that it's printed afterwards. There may be some. Yeah. No one makes their own matzah nowadays. Okay, so. No, another matzah company will do it, and they'll put the printing on before. Right? Meaning, I would think that it's easier, meaning in a certain sense, it's probably easier, because it bakes in, and then it's going to stick. Whereas when you're just sticking it on afterwards, it probably took them a while to not break the matzahs, and to not, that it shouldn't smudge, you know, so. Yeah, I'm trying to take you through the process of like what was going on in the Hashkacha's mind when they were approached with this shayla. From what I understand, it's a reliable Hashkacha. I don't know. I'm not on the West Coast, but it's, you know, it's an interesting topic, and it could also be one of these issues. You know, whenever that's never the way to say that. Presumably, they know what they're doing. Yeah, and presumably, but very often they know what they're doing, and others disagree. You know, you could have presumably, you know, you see something in the Star Cater, but Heinemann knows what he's doing. Of course, Heinemann knows what he's doing. He's not the Gadol HaMod. It doesn't mean that the OU agrees with everything that he does. It doesn't mean that he agrees with everything the OU does. I could point to a number of things that they don't agree about, right? I mean, that's okay. That's fair game within the Torah world. So it's fair to discuss the issue, even if it's under a reliable Ashkach, I think. So there is a discussion in Rishonim, actually, what Srikan and Mitzion really were. What did they do? What was the Gemara was not describing a matzogram, right? It wasn't describing the happy Passover matzahs. So what exactly did they do? What was this? So Rashi says it was made with the same ingredients as regular matzah, flour and water. They just shaped it differently or engraved on it certain images. They would make Shemitzayrin Bepas Kimin Chaya V'Of. They would make certain types of animals and birds on the bread. I guess that's Nogeira this week's parasha. We learned about the kosher and non-kosher animals. So they would make on the matzah. However, Rav Amram Gon says that they added oil or pilpulin as well. They added some sort of peppers or oil to the ingredients. So the Ritz Gaius just points out that that can't be correct, because that would turn it into Matzah Ashira. And the Gemara says that you could be Yotze with Srikan and Mitzion. Even though the Gemara doesn't like the idea of making them, the Gemara says if you have them and you eat them, you're Yotze, your mitzvah of matzah. So it can't be that we're talking about Matzah Ashira. That's a stark akasha on Rav Amram Gon. I don't know how he defends himself. The Ritva just points out that what's the chiddush? What's the chiddush that you could be yotzei with Srikan Mitzion? Why wouldn't you be able to be yotzei with Srikan Mitzion? If Rav Amram Gon is correct, and it's a great chiddush, in fact, it's too great a chiddush that you could be yotzei with Srikan Mitzion. But if Rashi's correct, just flour and water, what's the chiddush that you could be yotzei with Srikan Mitzion? Says the Ritva, the chiddush is that it's not called matzah ashira. It's unbelievable. Meaning, what's matzah ashira? Fancy matzah, right? It's got to be lechem ani. So it can't be fancy matzah. So fancy matzah can come in two forms, potentially. When it's got fancy ingredients, or when it's got fancy shapes. Says the Ritva, nah, don't worry about fancy shapes. Fancy shapes are okay. Fancy ingredients are the only thing that's a problem. What about the fact that we do make shapes and perfect symmetry on our matzahs? Meaning we make those dots, right? No? So that's beferish, that in Shulchan Aruch, that's not a problem. Shulchan Aruch says, because you're not doing that to make a certain image, you're doing that so that the dough remains flat. So that's not a problem. That's not called Srikan HaMetziarin. There's discussion about whether matzah, you know, one of the concerns that they had with machine matzahs when they started making machine matzahs, there's a whole literature about it, obviously, because a lot of people were not so excited about the idea of machine matzahs. It used to be, you have to realize, that these machines were not exactly the most modern, equipment, and there was a genuine chashash chimutz on some of the early machines. Now, obviously, nowadays, the Soloveitchik family, Hour of Soloveitchik and his father, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, was makbid to only use machine matzah on Pesach, because he held that the chashash chimutz was so much was so much less when it came to machine matzah, that there was much greater chashash chilutz. So obviously there are machines and machines, but one of the things that they were concerned about was that you're changing the shape of matzah. Matzah is supposed to be round, and now you're making it square. Oh, so a simple eitzah, why don't they just make the machine matzahs round? Because then they're going to be cutting around the edges, then there's going to be a lot of extra dough, and then there will definitely be a chashash chilutz, right? So they had to make it square to cut evenly. So that was something. So is there such a hakpada? So that you do find in certain svarim about hakpadas, about round matzahs representing whatever, and square matzahs maybe representing something else, and you know, the luchos or whatever. I don't know, different ideas that exist, but it doesn't seem that's what we mean by a shape. Shape means something much fancier. Another tzad lahakel over here, the Beis Yosef quotes from Agos Maimonios in Perek Hay, that and he quotes from the Kolbo as well, that Srikin Mitziarin Kmo Rikikin, you don't have to worry about. If they're very flat matzos, you don't have to worry about Srikin Mitziarin. In fact, it's in that very same simon in Shulchan Aruch, in Simon Tav Samach, where we talk about Srikin Mitziarin, that we talk about how flat matzos have to be. Right? You know, that's a big discussion. Are Ashkenazim allowed to eat Sfardi matzahs? How many of you have ever eaten Sfardi matzahs? Me too. They have certain advantages to them. First of all, they're not a cracker, right? Meaning, which l'chora is pasa babikisnin, at least for Sfardim, right? So, right, where you make a mezonos on Ashkenazi matzah, yeah. So they have that advantage to it. When it comes to korech, you can actually wrap it around your lettuce, you can wrap it around your maror, which is what korech means. So Ashkenazim always translate korech as sandwich, because our matzahs can't wrap. But the word korech actually means wrap, it doesn't mean sandwich. Okay, so there are certain advantages to it, but one significant disadvantage is that they're thicker. And being thicker may raise chimutz issues, or you know, you have to be much more on guard. Obviously, so it's in that context that we discuss that the Ramah and the Mishabura discusses just how flat matzahs have to be. And the truth is, the contemporary Sephardic matzahs are for sure well within range of flat enough. Right? You're not allowed to make the Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed to make your matzah a tefach. A tefach. You know, good luck eating a matzah that's a tefach. You know what the miracle of the Lechem Apanim was? The miracle of the Lechem Apanim was that it was a tefach, and it was matzah. And it was edible. It was fresh, right? A week later, you know what it would be if you made matzah, dough that was not allowed to rise, and you baked it a tefach thick, and you left it out for a week? It would mamish be a brick. It would be mamish a brick. But that was, it just gives you an appreciation of the miracle that the Mishnah talks about and the Gemara talks about, how they would show the Olei Regalim, how it was still fresh and it was still soft, it was still edible. A week later, it's mavish, nisim de flaus. But with it, less than an etzba, which the Sfardi matzahs are definitely less than an etzba, that for sure is okay. But so says the Agos Maimonios, if you're making such flat matzahs anyway, you don't really have much of a concern of chimutz, and you don't have to worry that in the time that it takes to make a picture on it, that it's going to be a problem of chimutz. The Mishnah Berurah is machmir, though, even on flat matzah. But l'chora from the Beis Yosef doesn't sound that way. It doesn't sound like you should be machmir. Just Mishnah Berurah is machmir. La halacha Shulchan Aruch writes: Einos and Srikin Amitziarin Da'inu Letzayir Bepaskim and Chayev Ha'Of. Avol Kol Ma'ashos Mosav B'Misr Kedesh Lo Yitbach. Whatever you do to make it that the dough doesn't swell. V'chein Ma'ashem Menakvin Amatzos, that you make holes in the matzah. All that's mutter. Mikol Makom Tov L'Mar La'Asos and Sholish Lishos Bam. You should do it as quickly as possible. Nevertheless, Mishnah Berurah says. It doesn't make a difference if it's being made by a professional or by an individual. After Nachtomen Kavunim or Galen Bazeh, even though the Nachtomen have a lot of experience, they ain't shown Basias and they do it very quickly. Aval became Aser, it's still Aser. Vafilim Amatzah Sein Rikikin Dakim Sheinim Mimar Lach, it's Aval became El Nasos Mitziarim. And Mishmur emphasizes, I don't care how thin your matzahs are, I don't care who's making your matzahs, you're not allowed to make Srikin Amitziarim. So what are the Tzad and Lahakal at the end of the day? So the major Tzad Lahakal, as we pointed out, that it's put on after the baking. Second Tzad Lahakal is that some Rishonim say Shal Nachtomen is actually Mutter. That if it's made by a professional, it's Mutter, like that last opinion in the Gemara. And third Tzad Lahakal is that the Beis Yosef seems right, not like the Mishnah Berurah says, that if you have flat matzos, then none of this is a concern, and this is all going to be Mutter Anyway, so l'chora they have what to rely on as far as srikin ha-mitzyarin. Okay, what about our other issues though? So what about the issue of the additional ingredients to the matzah? So there is a gemara in Pesachim Daf Lam Vav Amar Aleph, lechem oni, Rabbi Akiva says, means prat li'isa shel milo shel b'yayin v'shemen u'dvash. You're not allowed to use a dough that's made with yayin, shemen, dvash. That's matzah ashira. That's it says lechem oniksiv, even though it's pronounced oni, but it's oniksiv. So we could darshan onim alav dvarim harbe, as well as lechem oni, a poor man's bread. That it should be a very, very basic bread. So Shulchan Aruch Paskin Simtav Sanch Beis Sif Aleph Me Peros Belo Mayim in Machmitzin Klal. That if you have apple juice matzah, or you have any sort of matzah made with meperos, it does not cause any sort of chimutz. Svardim Paskin. Ashkenazim are concerned that it becomes chametz nuksha. It's memayer lahachmitz to the point of chametz nuksha. Never becomes chametz gomor, but it becomes chametz nuksha. So it's only mutter for a chola or a svardi, right? So that's the. But anyway, Shulchan Aruch says it's not machmitz at all. Egg matzahs, right? That was the big critique they had in one of the matzah companies. They used to have in Hebrew writing on the box muta rak lecholim olusfar lebnei edut mizrach or something like that. So, but it was in Hebrew and it was being sold in America in the Passover section of the supermarket. So, some people didn't like that. Okay, but anyway, may peros bo mayim in machmitz and klal umuta lechol bePesach matzah shenilosha bMei peros afilu shasa kol hayom. You could have the flour sitting in the apple juice all day long, assuming that the apple juice doesn't have any water added to it, that it's pure apple juice, all day long, without being baked. It's not chametz, says the Shulchan Aruch. Aval, ein yotzi b'yidei chavas v'pesach m'neshi matzah ashira ukraksiv lechem oni. But don't use it for the mitzvah. Now that he uses it for the mitzvah, Pasuk says lechem oni. You know, the Rambam writes, even though the Gemara says he's not supposed to eat on Yom Rishon Shal Pesach, on the first day of Pesach. Yom Rishon Shal Pesach. What does it really mean? The Seder, right? The Rambam quotes that lashon of Yom Rishon Shal Pesach. And I think they say this is where some have a minhag that they don't eat kibbutz only on the first day of Pesach. Right? You've heard of the minhag not to eat kibbutz at all the entire Pesach. You've heard of the minhag to not eat kibbutz except for the last day, which is the most common minhag. Then on the last day of Pesach, people brak on the last day of Pesach, and then the next year they hold that the kelim are kosher again somehow. Right? So that's an interesting... No, I mean, that's a minhag. It's a very strong Hasidic minhag like that. Okay? So, but there is a minhag, and it's on the books. I mentioned this recently in a shiur, and a guy called me and he told me that his father went to learn yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and his father had a minhag from his grandfather not to eat kibbutz on only the first day of Pesach. And when he came back from Shiva Eretz Yisrael, he said, okay, that minhag is ridiculous. I've never seen it anywhere. No one has ever heard of this minhag. So he told his father, this is crazy. I'm not doing this anymore. And I don't remember which way he went, whether he just didn't eat kibbutz all Pesach or he decided that he did eat kibbutz. But he said it's a crazy minhag. And he was back in America walking down the hall of the yeshiva, and he overheard in one of the shiurim, one of the rebbeim telling the talmidim, there's a minhag by, I forget which obscure rishon, that says, not to eat kibbutz or early achron, not to eat kibbutz the first day of Pesach. And he stuck his head in the room, he said, what did you just say? And he documented where the minhag comes from, and the guy went and he begged mechila from his father, I said bad things about your minhag, and I see now that it's really based on something. Okay, we don't just laugh at minhag him just like that. But that's probably based on that Rambam, that Yom Rishon Shal Pesach with the Hakpada of Matzah Ashira. So maybe that's where that comes from. Maybe, I don't know. Anyway, this does not seem to be a big problem for this matzah either, because they advertise on matzogram.com that the ink that they use is colorless and odorless. I mean, not colorless, that would be bad. Is tasteless and odorless. It has no taste and it has no smell. It's not really anything. So l'chora won't ruin that element. Meaning the Ritva has such a havamina that anything fancy and spitzy is going to be matzah ashira. But the Ritva says no. Kamash Malon, that you're yotze, that's not called matzah ashira. So if it doesn't have any taste, it's not going to take away the tam, the normal tam, bland tam of matzah. So then I don't say that as a negative. I just say it as a descriptive. I happen to like it. That bland tom, you know, it's like you grow up with it; it becomes like a part of you, right? So, it's not going to be a problem. What about the letters and the pictures on the food? Oh, so this is a whole sugya. This is a whole parsha already. The birthday cake. I had a shayla, I'll tell you. I got an email from my good friend, Rabbi Dr. Jonathan Schwartz, Rabbi Tani Schwartz, and he wrote that a girl asked him a shayla, that her father is turning 70, a young lady, her father is turning 70. The family is making a major kiddush in the parents' home so that they can celebrate with their friends. The granddaughter is a phenomenal baker and wants to make special cookies in honor of the occasion. As the birthday boy, meaning the 70-year-old, is a serious daf yomi Jew, the granddaughter wants to take edible sheets and print them with the image of a page of Shas on them. Right? Can she do that? So, a very similar issue, right? They're going to be eaten on Shabbos, but they added a twist. What's the extra halachic twist you have over there? They're Shemus, right? You're going to be eating, my Eitza, take like the Purim daf. You know those, that, you know, like Maseches Trump or whatever, you know, that they put up a Purim? It looks like a daf Gemara, but it's all, it's all gibberish, and that way you could, it's funny, but it's, That was my eighth. I don't know if it's doable, but okay. But what about just them? A birthday cake, letters, pictures on food. So the Rama in Simin Shin Mem in Hilchos Shabbos Sif Gimel writes: Also the Shabbat Uga Shakasav La Kaminos Yos Afal Pishen Mechavin Rak La Achila Davi Mochek, that you're not allowed to break a cake that has letters on it, even though you're only trying to eat it because that's erasing. Mishmur says you give it to a kid and let the kid do with it what he wants, but you're not allowed to do it. Mishmur in Sifkat and Tazayin says that Yesh Machmir Nafilu B'tziyurim, and he doesn't quote anyone who's Mekel, which means that it's loved after letters, pictures also. So a picture of a Seder plate or of a Jewish star with different colors, or whatever, right? That would be a problem also, says the Mishnah Berurah. Wow. So so it's not looking good. Comes the Dagel Mirvava. Dagel Mirvava was, of course, authored by Nodav Yehuda, and he's totally makel on the issue. Dagel Mirvava writes, first of all, it's a well-known machlokas between the Trumas Desha and the Magen Avram whether Psik Reshe on the Drabanan is Mutter or Asr. So the Trumas Desha holds Psik Reshe on the Drabanan is Mutter. So it's Davar Sheinu Miskavin, but it's definitely going to happen. So it's Psik Reshe. But the whole issue that's going to happen is only the Rabbanan Mutter, says Shmuel Sedeshin. So he says, according to that Shmuel Sedeshin, that for sure is fine over here because you're being mochek, but not, you're not trying to erase. What are you trying to do? Trying to eat. So he says, and it's only the Rabbanan. Why is it only the Rabbanan? It's not Almanas Lichtov, so it's only the Rabbanan. So that for sure is Mutter. But then he says, Afilu Lefi HaMagen Avram. Even according to the Magen Avram who disagrees, that a Psik Reish on the Rabbanan is going to be Aser. He says, it's still going to be mutter over here because it's not a derabanan, it's three derabanans. It's shalal menas lichtov, it's mekalkel, and it's kila achar yad. So for sure there's going to be mutter, says the Dagel Mirvava. Now, the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkat Yud Zayin points out that if you bite into it, that's better than cutting it or breaking it. Biting into it and breaking the picture that way, he says, that's going to be mutter. So even though the Ramaz Machmir in general, but biting into it, Mishmur says, that's called Derech Achila. Who disagrees with the Mishmur and says that, no, that's Aser too? Who do you think would disagree with the Mishmur and say that it's Aser? Chazanish. So the Chazanish writes in Simen Samech Aleph that he understands what the Mishmur is trying to say is that he's being makel based on a trade to Rabbanan, that it's Shalom al Menas Lichtov and it's Kalachar Yad when you're biting into it. So since it's kalachar yad, it's mutter. So Chazanish says, I don't agree with that kula. I'm not convinced that we can be mekel when it's a trade rabbanan. I don't think that's enough reason to be mekel. So I saw in Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn, he quotes from a Sefer Orach Yisrael, from Hagon Rav Yisrael Grossman, in Simon Lamed Dalid, he says, no, he disagrees with the Chazanish's understanding of the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah didn't mean to say that it's a trade rabbanan. It's a totally different heter. Let me ask you this. Someone comes and burns a house down. Burns a whole house on fire, right? Has he violated mochek because there were books in the house? No, what do you say? What? Well, okay, leaving Akim Levdravine. It was his own house. It was for safety reasons. I don't know, whatever. But has he violated mochek? So of course not. Why not? Because he didn't erase writing. He destroyed the entire thing. So says Rav Grossman, that's what the Mishnah Berurah means. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't mean that this mochek kalachayad, it's mochek like that. It's not mochek at all. You're eating the entire thing. You're just destroying the whole thing. When you the Poskim discuss this when they talk about smoking on Yantif, smoking a cigarette. The cigarettes have words sometimes printed on the side, Marlboro or whatever brand they used to have. Now you don't see people smoke as much. Now they're vaping like crazy. But it used to be smoking was much more popular, and it used to be people were under the misimpression that you're allowed to do it on Yantif. So one of the discussions that they have is whether it's a violation of erasing. So some people would actually like take a black marker and take all their cigarettes before Yantif and erase and blot over the letters. You know, what's the expression the poskim use when they talk about the heter mechira, right? That you're running away from a small thread and running into the mouth of the lion, right? Meaning, it's not mochik probably. You're destroying the whole paper. You're burning the whole paper. But it is nisidaraisa of mavir on yantif when it's shalol tzorach ocho nefesh and it's not even a tzorach ksas. That it is with every single puff. Okay, but that's a separate issue. That's why many understand that the Mishnah Berurah would be Mekel over here, not because of Trei D'Rabbanan. Then the Mishnah Berurah goes on to say, in Sivkan Tezvav, Kishak Siva, Himea Uga Atzma, B'Defuso B'Yadayim, Shari. If the writing is not on the Uga, but it's part of the Uga, what does that mean? Like you have like a biscuit, right? That says like the company name on the biscuit or something? That's Mutter. Dein Shem Ksiva Aleh. That's not called Ksiva. And that's not called mechika. V'chein im kasav, and this I don't really get. Maybe you could explain it to me. Mishbur writes im kasav ha'osios bidvash hamu'urav b'mayim. If the letters are written with honey mixed with water, which sounds like icing, right? Meaning he's describing some sort of icing. Oshar me peros gam kinein lahachmi. Why not? Isn't that exactly the topic? Right, meaning everyone always quotes all the other parts of the Mishnah Berurah. Then he says, "Oh, and if it's made out of icing, then it's for sure." I don't know what he means by that. The Chazon Ish is mefakpek on that as well.
Maybe because icing is very insubstantial. It's like
ink. So that heter would not apply for this. You're saying because this is, this seems more, Mishnah Berurah writes in the context. Important to note, and this is like fascinating. I don't know what to do with this exactly. Rav Simcha Ben Kohn points this out. Mishnah Berurah Soser himself, from Hilchos Shabbos to Hilchos Pesach. In Hilchos Pesach, he talks about matzos. So what's the context? The Rama writes that you should make out of one isaron of flour, you should make three matzos, and those three matzos should be used for the Seder, and you should identify Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, which one is which. Right, and keep them in order. The Ramah says such a minhag. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, but ve'ein lasos osios ala matzah lehekera, don't make letters on the matzah for a heker, shekshashover no savi mochek b'yantiv. Because when you break it, it's going to be mochek on yantiv. So dafka by matzah, Mishnah Berurah says we have to be machmir. Unclear why. I mean, the Mishnah Berurah was one that was mekel. Right, when it's part of the bread, when it's part of the... So I don't know. I'm not sure what to do with this. Rav Shachter didn't seem particularly concerned about that issue over here either. But l'chora, it's at least something to think about. It's something to be... it's at least a good point for discussion. Okay, I'll stop there. Have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody.